All right, let's go. Don Cherry's Grapevine is on the air. Yes. Now, this is Don Sunday morning, and I would like to, you know, talk about the games last night, Saturday night. First of all, Jeff Petrie was plus +3, and he had 5 shots on net, and he was the defenseman. I would thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, so Montreal pretty much hammered Nashville last night.
Yeah, 6-3. And how do you pronounce that guy's name? Sam Montabeau?
Yep.
My God, he stopped 29 shots. He looked like, you know, he looked like Price up there. Would it be nice if they had another Price coming? He played for Florida, I didn't think, didn't he?
Yeah, I played not many games, like 20 games over 2 years.
Anyhow, Canadians won again. Boy, funny. I have to say something about the linesman. You know, the linesman, when they said a couple of years ago, when did they start that stuff of throwing them out? About 3 or 4 years ago? 4 years ago, anyhow, eh? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, got worse. I mean, it was bad, and then it went from bad to worst.
The players will learn. The players will learn. They'll learn that they're just as bad now, and they throw. And you ever notice they always drop the puck the second time.
Bang. And faster.
Yeah. And it's so ridiculous throwing players out. And again, I'm going to say every sport in the world, every sport in the world is, you put it back. Okay, now.
Yeah, every sport.
Toronto got beat.
Right, every sport in the world is trying to speed up the game, and yeah. Hockey's doing their best to slow it down.
You know, Spezza, I know he doesn't play much. He played, I think, about 10 minutes or 11 minutes last night. He was 5-1. That means he won 5 faceoffs and lost 1, which is unbelievable. Matthews, he had 5 shots, you know, and missed 3. When he doesn't score, when the big guys don't score, they don't win.
Yeah, watching the game last night, you know, I think Pittsburgh, they do what you say. Crosby didn't kill any penalty minutes.
Well, you know, when you're killing penalties, you got to block a shot, and you have to deacon dive. I always had the guys that could really move. I didn't have big guys. I had guys that could really move.
And you hate to say that we're somewhat expendable.
Well,
because they're going to block shots, and they're going to break ankles hands.
And you know what? It was a funny thing with the Boston Bruins. When the referee would have his hand in the air, you know, like that for a delayed penalty, they'd be ready. They'd be on the ice as soon as he put his hand down. They'd be ready to go because they knew they were
specialists in what they did.
They were specialists.
And I always liked when if you ever guys, not that you ran up a score, but if you were winning and all that, you would let those guys take a regular shift even play the power play.
Absolutely.
Sometimes.
Absolutely, when we were up by a big score with 2 minutes to go. They would play regular shift. They would play more than the big. And, you know, I often think about that, is that the guys had bonuses, you know, to score goals. And when you're up big score like that, you can.
Well, you were notorious for very career-limiting moves, Dad, when Bobby Schmotzer say, hey, he's up for his bonus, he only needs 1 goal.
Yeah.
And then you'd put them on. You don't think Harry was watching when you were playing guys?
You wouldn't fool Harry.
Were doing.
Sorry, I think we told the classic one with Ricky Middleton in Toronto.
Oh, hey, it was a nothing game. We'd already clinched first. And I said, now look, Ricky's got a big bonus coming up. And I'm going to play him to death till he gets that goal. And he, God, I said, now don't jump on the ice. And don't be like.
Yeah, don't let on when he scores.
He scored the goal. You think he scored the Stanley Cup?
Yeah, because back in those days, the players could jump on the ice.
Yeah.
And congratulate. So, and then remember what happened in the dressing room. Then you go into the dressing room and say, okay, Harry's coming in. Be low key.
Keep it going. Ed E. And he called him Eddie. What was that guy?
Eddie Munster. That's
one of the Munsters.
Yeah.
But people don't realize.
He was as white as those guys, too. But McDavid scored again last night. I mean, this guy is unbelievable. Talk about taking chances. They beat Chicago 5-2.
You know, it's funny, we were talking about blocking shots and stuff. Did you see nurses out with broken finger with those gloves?
Yeah, no, those lousy
gloves. Out three weeks maybe?
Oh, broken finger. you know, and you can't hold a stick right. You know, you can't. And
plus, you can't tape it up in your.
Well, glove. It's not.
You always said those gloves. How much damage they cause? You know, blocking shots and guys slashing and stuff.
Yeah, and the gloves. And I look at Bobby Orr and I look at Gretzky with his gloves. I mean, you
they're half up to their elbow.
Oh, you need a sledgehammer to hurt them. Chris Tanev in the Chicago and Calgary beating New York Rangers. Imagine New York Islanders losing at home. They had a 13-game road trip. Believe it, you know, they were getting their drinks ready. And Chris Tanev, yeah, he did his job with the Flames plus three, which is pretty good.
So Sutter's kind of
Markstrom is the guy.
Yeah, Sutter's kind of turned them around.
Well, they're almost his team. He'll make a few trades. Yeah. There's a few guys will go.
But he's got Lucic going.
Yeah, he's got Lucic going. Lucic going pretty good. What the hell have we got you around here for? Yeah. You don't fight, you don't do nothing.
No, I remember he was in that Toronto. They beat Toronto, or Toronto beat them. But, boy, he was running around and made some few big hits.
He's playing like he did when he played for Boston.
Tim, you were showing me an article that you got from the internet, and it was just a great, hilarious article.
We'll see if you remember this, because what happened was somebody sent me a picture of the Springfield Indians going into the stands at Hershey. It was 1959. And then somebody then sent me the article. So here's the article.
So you played for the
Springfield. Where's that article from?
It must be the Hershey paper. A guy named Tinney Perry wrote it from.
I don't know him.
From, well, you said Harrisburg, right? Because Hershey.
Yeah, it's Harrisburg. They didn't have a paper.
Right. Hershey. So, Dad, you were playing for Springfield.
I was playing for Springfield, unfortunately.
And you had just played for Hershey. And so here's what happened with the picture of the guys going into the stands. The Springfield Indians were on the war path in more ways than one at the Hershey Sports Arena last night, when they downed the Hershey Bears by a 4-3 score in a sudden death overtime that concluded the most ruckus evening in the 27 years of history at the Hershey at Hershey. I was going to say Hershey Center, like Hershey.
Isn't it the Hershey Center?
Yeah. A bristling ice battle erupted in two separate fan-player brawls on opposite sides of the arena nearly midway through the third period. The first outbreak came after Don Cherry, former Hershey defenseman, now wearing colors for Springfield, started into the penalty box to protest a second penalty assessed for leaving the box before such penalty was fully served. As he tried to reach the timekeeper to present his argument, an unidentified fan grabbed Cherry's jersey in an effort to restrain him. Cherry promptly punched the fan, and when several other spectators jumped in, the scrap spilled onto the ice and quickly developed into general melee. Both players on the teams amassed at the spot, and mainly it halted when the arrival of the Hershey police. I'm kind of hurrying this up. That outbreak was hardly settled when a second outbreak erupted in a free-for-all in just behind the Springfield bench that involved several players from both teams, fans, Springfield's coach Glenn Sonmore, and the visiting trainer Wiley Barlow. Springfield players who milled onto the cramped space were Cherry, and it says parentheses, again throwing punches, and Tony Snyder wielding his stick like a spear. And then at the end it says, rumors that charges would be made for Cherry for inciting a riot proved to be false. And no such charges were laid.
No, they just get out of town. No, I'm going to tell you what happened there. I went in the penalty box, and this fan did reach over and grab me.
Because he thought you were going to go after the timekeeper.
I don't know what he was thinking. He was just giving me a hard time. So I grabbed him and jumped backwards and landed on the ice. Now, his head was underneath my shoulder.
So you pulled him right onto the ice.
I pulled him right on the ice. And Glenn saw, and I looked up, and there's Glenn Sommer. Players all come on. They all circled around. He had a hold of the shoulders of two, and he was kicking the guy. Glenn saw. Oh, he was a great guy. He was a good coach, too. And then I look across, and there's Wally Barlow, who was a commando in the Second World War. He's up in there chopping away, and we went up. And you know what I remember about that? I remember the next day in the paper, the Harrisburg paper, it had a picture of two North Koreans, and they were holding a seat. It was all smashed up. It was awful.
So, Dad, the one person that was mentioned here was Tony Schneider. And oh, so yeah. He was a big,
I remember he had a big head. He had white hair, I don't know why he didn't like me. I didn't think one went, and we got into a fight, and I remember Punch was the coach, and he just let it go.
This was during practice.
It was during a practice, and we were teammates. Usually they break it up after.
For sure.
He just let it go till we couldn't throw him anymore. Now I'm at the end, I am so tired, I can't even pick up my stick. So Brian Kilray, great guy Brian Kilray, he picks up my sticks and gloves and puts them on. If somebody passed me the puck, would have knocked the stick straight under my hand. Now I tell you what fear will do. I look and Tony's going off the ice. And he feels up and he feels the stuff, warm stuff going down inside of his face. It's blood. Well, when some guys, when they see their own blood, they go bananas. He made it sound like something out of a movie. And he come running. Let me tell you something. Fear does a lot for you. And boy, I was ready for him. We didn't do much then. We were too tired.
So why do you think Punch let it go?
I don't know. Someday I'd like to ask him. Punch was a great coach. I mean,
so let me ask you about the dynamics with Punch Imlach coming down. He was coming down from Boston, right? In the sense.
No,
of...
let me explain that to you, Cindy.
Okay.
He was in Montreal. He was in Quebec League, and he did pretty good in the Quebec. He played in the Quebec League, and then he was general manager and coach there. And somebody in Boston saw how good he was. And they brought him down there, and they bought the club, the Springfield club, for the 1 year because it was close to Boston. Eh? They could pick it up and down.
Yeah.
And they put Punch in there as a general manager and coach.
So how did the dynamics of two alpha males with Eddie Shore?
Did not get along.
I was going to say.
No, they did not get along. And I remember I was on the ice, and they were hollering and yelling and screaming. And Punch went over to and said to Eddie Shore, "Get out!" Something to the effect, "Get out of here! I'm running this club. You're not running the club." And nobody, you know, all of us from we never ever heard anybody talk about Eddie Shore like that. And Eddie Shore kept away from him from after that.
Did he really? And then when Punch left Springfield, Eddie Shore came back as the head guy.
Unfortunately.
But you were back then too. So it was back to the old story,
I was back
right?
The old
routine.
Long practices and stupid practices. And I remember Punch Boy. I remember in Cleveland one time he called me Thingamabob. He's Bob Armstrong and Thingamabob. I'm Thingamabob.
Yeah. So fast forward, now Punch is in with the Leafs. And doesn't he invite you to camp?
You invited me to camp. No, no, I was at camp. I was on by the New York. I don't know how I ever got.
Well, Toronto, Rochester was the farm.
Yeah,
club
Rochester
was the farm club of Toronto.
Right.
Yes, and I really was. I think he still liked me. I don't know why.
You said he even came up and asked about
Yeah,
mom.
The contract. I tell you about the contract. Yeah, he said he got a contract. And he handed it to me. I says, I signed it. He says, well, don't you want any more? I said, you're going to give me any more money? He said, no. I said, well, what's the sense of arguing about it? But he said, I remember him saying, I'm going to win the Stanley Cup. I mean, really, and here's this little guy from.
Yeah, because you guys in Springfield, you're kind of the low of the, like you're kind of down being in Springfield, right? That's Devil's Island.
Devil's Island for sure. Someday we'll go into that one.
So now you're at the Leaf camp and Punch is in the stands watching you play. And
I'll never forget it, Cindy. I can jump in and I'll tell you about the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because I told you the story.
Yeah.
I'm doing pretty good. You know, I'm doing all right. I mean, really, there was no difference. There was five. When you think about it, there was five defensemen. They used to carry five defensemen. There was 16, so there was 30 that could make the National Hockey League. 30 defensemen. Now, what is it? They carry at least seven.
Yeah, so 30 teams, a couple of hundred anyway.
At least a couple of hundred anyhow. So everybody back then who played professional hockey would be playing in the National Hockey League. So anyhow, I'm doing pretty good. And Ron Ellis, I never liked the guy. He's a good guy, and he's a beautiful guy and all that stuff and everything like that. And he said, I don't know whether I'll play hockey. I don't know whether I'll go to college or, and I'd give my IT, I'd give anything to make the National Hockey League. So he's coming down, and I nail him pretty good. And Punch comes running down. I can still see him, his shirt sleeves on. Get that 50-cent hockey player off the ice with that million-dollar hockey player. I don't know whether he was kidding or not. And I broke my stick. I remember breaking the stick over the boards and firing it, throwing it back at him, telling him to go, which is impossible. And you
so
know,
that was a
that was it for me for the rest.
Career limiting move.
Yeah. That was and I don't know whether he was kidding or not.
Maybe he was manager about the time you left him on the street in Buffalo. Tell us about that.
Let me tell you that story. That's a good story. Floyd Smith. He really liked Floyd Smith. And we were in a bar. Yeah, I wish I could remember the guy's name. I forget. Anyhow, he had roast beef, beautiful roast beef, and Kemmelwick. And Kemmelwick is kind of like a...
And this was after curfew, right? We caught you guys after curfew?
Yeah, everybody knew.
So it was like after a game?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Floyd Smith and I are there. We're too late or something. And in walks Punch. Punch Imlach. I mean, what is he doing there? So we get up to leave, and he says, no, sit there. Bought us a beer, and he whispered in my ear, say, and he didn't like me. Well, I don't know. But anyhow, he liked Floyd Smith, and he whispered in my ear if a guy's coming out 3-2 or something like that or something, and he'd tell me what he'd do, and then Floyd would say the same thing. They were right on everything he said.
So they
said.
Were in sync the way they think
You better
of
believe it. Yeah. And he made him coach, too.
Yeah, he played like coached the Leafs, didn't he?
Yeah.
And Buffalo, wasn't he?
And
in
then I think he started out in Cincinnati. Yeah. And then
we all know that story with Cincinnati. Oh
yeah,
well,
that's good. So anyhow, he ended up coaching the Leafs. And
so then you're done, and your guys are walking out, freezing cold. In
Buffalo. Yeah, we're walking out, and it is cold in Buffalo. Believe me, it is cold in Buffalo. So we thought, you know, he was kidding when he said he was. Felt faint and everything. We kept on going. We saw him the next morning. He's a nice guy as you are. I had a slight heart attack.
You left him.
And we left him. Oh, we're drinking, you know.
Well, did you say what time you and Larry Hillman were -5 and he benched you?
Yeah. I went to, like, Joe Crozier's playing. He says, well, he's a better hockey player. Oh, gee, thanks a lot. And here's the way he figured it. With -5, some of it had to be my fault.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I was like nothing. And he was like the darling of the whole deal.
Yeah.
And so he figured if he was playing with another guy, he wouldn't be -5.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned, Cindy, that, and you're talking to Dad earlier, that in you guys were talking, that's where Punch saw Johnny Bauer play in the minors.
Johnny Bauer played for Cleveland Barons, and he was terrific. And it was one of my first... When I first went there, I said, holy, it's all goaltenders like this guy. And he played for the Cleveland Barons. That's why I find it very strange that there's no NHL team in Cleveland. But anyhow, he was terrific, and that's where Punch saw him. And he had to talk him into going to the Toronto Maple Leafs because he did not want to win. He did not want to leave Cleveland. Yeah, Nancy Bauer, I think she was 96. She just passed away last week.
Yeah.
And
do you remember the last time? I remember the last time we saw Johnny Bauer was we went to drop the puck up in Brampton for the Brampton Beast, which I think
remember that good-looking guy?
ECH. I just remember. So we were done, and we were in the back, and this guy came, and he was a tough guy. He had a broken hand, and he was in a cast, and he looked like a movie star. It was unbelievable. He had this beautiful... I don't know what kind of coat it was.
Cashmere coat. And a nice shirt and tie.
And it was like a full-length coat.
Oh, it was beautiful. And he had
his hair kinda, slipped back. And oh, he
looked
mean,
like
he
a movie star. Brad Pitt.
Yeah, better looking than Brad Pitt. And so that was, I remember that was the last time. And we saw Johnny on those things. Everybody just loved Johnny Bauer.
Loved Johnny Bauer.
Dad, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Spreads.ca. It's a Canadian-owned online casino and sportsbook. And if you sign up now and they'll match your deposit up to $250, you get 10 spins on the big wheel for some big dough. And your first sports bet, they'll spot you $25. And I'm not betting on the Leafs anymore because every time I bet on the Leafs, they lose. I thought for sure they would have beat Pittsburgh last night. And it was just... It's
well,
just,
I could have told you, being home... I think we should mention Fenway Sports. I was thinking of buying the Pittsburgh Hockey Club.
Yeah.
And
they would own the Red Sox, and I think they own Manchester United.
I guess they approached Toronto, too.
Yeah, they wanted to merge with Toronto. They said it would have been the biggest sports thing in the biggest sports conglomerate, but the Leafs said...
Well, imagine how much that would be.
Yeah, but what can you do? You can't spend any more money, right? Yeah. Like, they're maxed out on their... on their cap. So, Cindy, we have Coach's Closet still going.
Yeah, how's that going?
So tell us, we got some more cool.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think Johnny Bauer is very well represented in Coach's Closet, online auction for Don Cherry Pet Rescue Foundation, because I'm going to tell you, I put the word out to about 30 or 40 sports memorabilia collectors across Canada, and I got about 6 of them to donate their items to that. And a couple of them include Johnny Bauer. Like, for instance, AJ Sports, we have a framed Johnny Bauer signed sweater up for there. And then our buddy at Midway Memorabilia, you know Vic, Dad,
and his wife.
Yeah. They're here in Mississauga. We get a lot of our framing done there, too, also. They have a framed 1967 Leaf Champ of the team, but it's signed by Johnny Bauer also, Eddie Shack, and Red Kelly. So that's, again, Johnny Bauer's in there. And then CW Sports, the owner there, Charles Warburton, he's in Brantford. He has another picture of the 67 champs. And
that was the last time they won it.
That's 1967, yeah, last time, eh? And 9 of the Leafs on that team signed the thing, and you'd probably know most of them. Bobby Bond.
Yeah. Tell a story about Bobby Bond.
Yeah.
But I remember they had a big night at Hockey Night in Canada, and they retired number 21, which was Boris Salming's number. And they never even mentioned Bobby Bond, who won the Stanley Cup with a broken ankle while he tied.
Probably one of the, like, next to Bill Baruchel, probably Toronto's most famous goal was him scoring on the broken ankle on Terry Sawchuk.
Believe that or not, that's a true story, and they never even mentioned him. And he was there.
So you mentioned him on Coach's Corner.
Mentioned on Coach's Corner, which he meant more. And I got a lovely letter from his wife.
Well, you mentioned him. You really blasted the Maple Leafs.
Yeah, I think you're pretty hard on the Leafs for not recognizing this fact.
Imagine I did this. Oh, go ahead. Yeah, you did. You know, I can't mention everybody, but...
But, and then Eddie Shack.
Yeah.
Played
with Eddie Shack in Rochester.
And Mike Walton.
One of the best rookies I ever saw was Mike Walton. Boy, he was dynamite in Rochester.
And how about you coached his brother, Bobby.
Bobby, yeah.
Bobby Coach Walton.
Bobby, yeah.
But that's how I got the Bobby Orr's autograph, because you went to Bobby.
Oh, yeah.
When you played at the Boston...
Bobby, I was playing for...
No, you were coaching.
Was I coaching?
You were coaching. You were coaching Mike Walton's brother.
Bobby
Walton. And you guys were
coaching. I think I was still playing.
No? Okay.
Well, I don't know. I got made coach halfway through. We must go through that.
Yeah.
And I went to Rob. And I said, do you think you could get Bobby Orr? I didn't know them, anybody. Nobody knew me. And Rob Walton, yeah, and, you know, I never thought of that.
So Rob went to his brother, Mike.
And you still have it, eh?
Yep, it says, to Timothy, keep lifting the weights.
Oh, Bobby is that that one you have? Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
A good picture of Bobby,
too. So that would have been like 72, I think, 72, 73?
Yeah, I forget what it was. Yeah. It was. But I remember I give it to you, and you thought more of John Wentz than good, because, you know, you didn't know the National Hockey League. You only knew the American Hockey League. Yeah.
So the other guys that signed it are Bobby Pulford. You know him. You coached
against him.
Against him a couple of good times in Red Kelly. Larry Hillman, you played with
Larry
him.
Larry Hillman was my roommate, and we used to go for a walk all the time after we'd have our steak, or, you know, we'd always we'd go for a walk. You know, we'd go through the department stores. He never bought a thing. And he the only guy I know that used to chew his food 21 times. And
You said he was always in good shape, eh?
Terrific shape.
Well, he's one of the many players that you see. They start out in Rochester, they go up to the Leafs, and they end in Rochester, right? And then there's Larry Jeffries and Johnny Bowers, we said, and Brian Conacher. Now, he's part of the Conachers. So we could go through a lot of these. Maybe next week I'll tell you a little bit more of the memorabilia guys that stepped up to the plate to help us.
Well, don't forget, these all help your animals, and mostly dogs, but they help all animals. And Cindy does that, and all the money this year's show goes to.
So before we wrap up, Dad, I want to ask you one question, okay? And then we'll answer it next week, okay? On the internet, there's a video going out. It says the most violent person in hockey, and they say it's Larry Zidel. And well, so we want to get your, which he was your roommate. So is that true, or is there a more? Was there one guy that was
one guy I felt that used to scare me. In warm-up and in practices. And I'll tell you about him next week.